means something. Did you know that? Every name in the Bible. Zechariah. What? No, that's Zechariah. Marilyn. Zechariah. God remembers. Yeah. Zechariah, which actually it means more than God remembers. What does it mean? Jehovah remembers. Jehovah. Anytime you got an awe or something like that on the end of a word, you got the name Jehovah. And this is the word Jehovah right here, just like that. And at the end of every word, now people say Jehovah. Where did we get the name Jehovah from, Brother Roger?
From the, what they call the Temujin, or what?
No.
I don't know how to pronounce it, but from
Septuagint?
Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh.
Septuagint? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, the Tetragram. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh.
Okay, how did we get the name Jehovah? Where did it come from?
Okay, they stopped using the direct address after the
Exodus 20 and verse 7.
To not use the name in vain.
Uh huh.
And then people mispronounce Yahweh. I don't know.
Cindy, where did the name Jehovah come from?
Well, it means he who shall become.
What?
It means he who shall become, and it came from.
Yeah, Jehovah means he shall become. But where did the pronunciation Jehovah come from?
Joshua.
No. Randy, you know that. How about it, Sharon? Huh?
I thought it was in the Bible.
It is in the Bible. It is in a Bible. Where did it begin?
King James.
Okay. All right. Well, I thought I'd drag it out. Even the name Jehovah came from the King James. It's a mispronunciation of that altogether. We don't know how to say it. The Hebrews, when they came to the word, they would do this. Ha-davar. Okay? Which means the word. They didn't know. They just didn't say it. Ha-davar. And so when John wrote it, Ho Logos, he's referring to Jehovah. That's why we translate that Jehovah. Now, Jehovah on the end of every name that has a Yah on the end of it, as far as I can understand how to say this word without pointing it or putting vowels in it, is Yah. 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 That's all. There's nothing else in that word. Yah. Now, Mark wrote about God. He wrote about God in the flesh in the Gospel according to Mark. Now, what does Mark mean? Do you remember what Mark means?
To dry out.
Mark is a Latin word which means to dry out. And he had another name, too. What was his other name?
John.
And John means what? A dove. A dried out, dehydrated dove. That's what John Mark means, okay? So this is John. Now, how did John Mark look at Jesus?
As a suffering servant.
And through whose eyes did he write the Gospel of Mark? Peter's eyes. Okay? This is probably the oldest of the Gospels. The very first Gospel, by the way. He uses very many Aramaic terms. And one of the terms that he uses is he uses the imperfect tense a lot because of the idea of the Hebrew language. And then he uses another word which means what? Immediately. Immediately, all the time he uses this term. Because he's using and writing in Greek. But he's using the Hebrew idea. Now the Gospel of John is written in perfect Greek. But the book of Revelation is written with what? So many Hebraisms in it that they thought it couldn't be inspired because there's too many grammatical mistakes. But he's writing to the Hebrew mind. Because most of the book of Revelation is written to whom? The Jews. Because they're the ones that get to go through this here period of time that nobody wants to see upon the earth, the tribulation period, the 7-year tribulation period. Now, in the Gospel of Mark, where we are today, we're talking about parables. Parables. It comes from these two Greek words, and we have an English word out of this also. Parabolo. What does parabolo mean? Para.
Near. Alongside.
Alongside, beside, and then bolo, Brother Roger.
Ball.
Ball to throw. We throw balls, don't we? All right. Parabolo, to throw alongside, to throw a ball alongside. Now, this parable that we're talking about is a parable of what, Cindy? Which parable?
The one with the seeds are thrown out, the seeds.
The what?
The
sower.
Right,
yeah, the sower. The parable of the sower. Now, who is the sower, Sharon?
I would say that it's God.
Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. And what is the seed? What's the seed? The seed is what, Pamela? The seed.
The gospel.
The seed is the Word of God, or the gospel, okay? The gospel or the Word of God. I taught this morning, and I talk about one book. And we went from Genesis through Revelation, and we talked about how we're talking about the same story. That book has one message. Did you know that? One message. And when we see a baptism, what do we see? What do we see? We see that message, don't we? It isn't the message, but we see the message, the results of it. In baptism, what do you have?
Death, burial, and resurrection.
The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're buried with Christ in baptism. We're raised in newness of life. Okay? It's a burial. A burial. So now let's get here in 4 and verse 8, and let's look where we are now. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and now Jesus is talking about four kinds of soils, different kinds of soils that the Word of God falls upon. Marilyn, the first Greek word there is what? Four and verse 8. No, I'm talking about this 4 and verse 8. What's the first Greek word? First Greek word. Kai. All right. What's the second Greek word? All right. What's the third Greek word, Cindy?
Apason.
All right. What's the fourth Greek word, Brother Roger? And then tain and gain and tain kalain. Kai idudu. And then we have the word anabinonta. Kai oxomena. Kai etheron. Hen, preconta, kai, hen, ex enconta, kai, hen, econton. And it says, and others. Others. This isn't like all of the strong adversative conjunction. This is a nominative plural neuter. All right, and it's talking about what we call an indefinite pronominal adjective, if you want to get around to it. And others fell. Others what? Seed, which is the Word of God. How do people react to the Word of God? Have you seen that? Some people use the Word of God. We have people like Muhammad that heard the Bible and heard the stories of the Bible, of the Old and the New Testament, and he twisted them all up out of context, and he made something totally out of it, different than what it was. Totally out of context. And if you talk to a Muslim, they will say, and they talk about the Bible, they say the Bible is corrupted. The Bible is corrupted. Now, the Bible is a pure book. It's a pure book. Joseph Smith's ideas of the Bible were totally different than what the Bible, aren't they? Totally different. In the Bible, we have Bereshith bara Elohim. In one of the beginnings, he had created God, et hashmayim ve'et haaretz, the heavens and the earth. But to Joseph Smith, God is an exalted man. These are different Jehovah's Witnesses. How do they look upon God? They look upon the God as much like the Muslims do in some way. He's a far, unreachable, untouchable person, and that he has nothing to do with us down here, personally. But that he sent out an angel to die for us, which is Michael. And that angel, when he died on the cross, in the flesh of Michael, the archangel, he never rose from the dead. What's wrong with that, according to the rest of the scheme of the Bible?
It doesn't fulfill the contract.
It doesn't fulfill the contract. The name Jehovah is thrown away, and they say they're Jehovah Witnesses. But that's what they say. So we have a perversion of the gospel. We have this different ground that has fallen upon. That ground is totally polluted with heresy. Okay? And others fell, and then Ace Tenge upon or into the earth, and the good, the kalain. What's the word for good in Hebrew, Cindy? You remember? You want me to write it for you?
Oh, yeah. Total.
All right. Total. All right, good. That means spiritually good. It means upright, square, and everything. And the word here, kalain, this is kalos. Now, this isn't quite a depth, a real good. What would it be if it was a spiritual good?
Agathos.
Agathos. All right. Thank you, girls. And he kept on gaining fruit, karpon, fruit, and coming up, and growing, increasing, and harvested, produced in 30, and in 60, and in 100. In 30, and 60, and 100. 30, 60, and 100. Some people that are born again, they show up to church, don't they? And some people, that's not enough, so they go to discipleship classes. And some people, it's not enough, they go out on Wednesday night, and sometimes they go out on Tuesday night here at Valley Baptist Church, and they go out, they call people on the telephone, invite them to church, and they're doing what? They're multiplying. I know one thing, Brett, wherever he goes, he starts preaching about the Bible and things. He's constantly trying to influence somebody with the Word of God. And he believes in the website. He pushes that website because there's a lot of stuff on this website, a lot of teaching on the website. But the most important thing of the website is to get people saved and then to build them up in the Word of God. And one person, it says, can produce 30-fold. 30-fold? How many is 30-fold, Cindy? You're a mathematician.
How many is 30-fold?
Yes.
30 times.
30 times. So what does that mean? What about this person? What did he do?
Well, if you start with one person, then you have 30 people.
Okay, now he has led 20, or he has led 30 people to the Lord. So that's 30-fold, isn't it? You know somebody that's led 30 people to the Lord? I know a man that I've known ever since he was been in my classes for many years here. He's not hasn't been in several years, but because he's a teacher here, was a teacher in Valley. And he has written down over 5,000 names of people that he has led to the Lord personally. He just went on a foreign mission field this last week to lead people to the Lord. He's an evangelist. Now there is 5,000-fold, okay? You get this? That's quite a bit, isn't it? Do you know somebody that has led 30 people to the Lord? I've been acquainted with people that led 30, 40, 50. There was one person here in Valley Baptist Church. Now, sometimes there is what we call hyper-evangelism. You ever hear of that? What's a hyper-evangelism?
In your face.
In your face all the time. This stuff, you know, it is hyper. That's all they talk about is reaching. And they do write the numbers down. One guy, one year, he led 1,000 people to the Lord, and he was challenging people to stay up with him and all of this. Well, that's good, but there's something else. Are they really true seed? What do you see out of a true child of God?
Change.
And what else? Multiplying factor. If they only lead 3 or 4 or 5 people to the Lord in their life, they've done something. All right? And when we come to the Lord, do we answer for what we've done with our lives? Yes. We are saved by what? Grace. We are kept by grace. But what we do with our lives after we're saved, we do answer for, don't we? Yes or no? See it or no? Yes, we do. We are responsible for what we do with our life. Do you live your life for yourself? Or do you live your life for others? What do you do with your life? What value do you have of a day, a 24-hour day? What value? What is in that 24-hour day? Watching TV? Sleeping 10 hours? What do you do with that day? How much of it is the Lord's? How much of every day is the Lord's? How much do you give to Him? How much of your monies do you give to the Lord? Do you give something to the Lord? This is what we're doing here. You know, the Lord didn't just save us and then take us up, did He? We're left here for what? Why are we left here? We are the products of the seed. We are the ground. We're not the seed because that's the Word of God, but we are the ground. And the ground nourishes and produces, doesn't it? Remember we talked about the grounds, the type of soils. Let's go on a little bit further. Verse number 9. I want to know, have you learned something tonight so far? Kai? Elegain. Hos eke. Ota. Akuain. Akueto. Now, here we have a command. This is a command. Kai elegain. And he kept on saying. He kept on saying, who? That's nominative singular masculine. All right, nominative singular masculine relative pronoun. Each one. Now it's plural down there, but it's not. Mess that up, put singular down there. Okay? That's singular. Nominative singular masculine. Who? Each one. He has. Look at that. Third person singular present indicative active. That comes from echo, if you want to write echo down there, Cindy. That's where it comes from, echo. And now this is present indicative active in it. So who can conjugate present indicative active for me, by the way? Brother Rocker? Cindy? Let's do it together. O, ace, a, omen, eddy, usi, ain. That's conjugated. And this is third person singular. Each one who he has. He has. And then, ota. That's ears. How many ears do you have, Sharon?
How many ears?
Yeah, ears.
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 Oh, ears too.
You got two of them, don't you? Now, I have 2 ears, but only one of them works. The other one's just for decoration, that's all. It doesn't work anymore, okay? It said, he who has ears. Akuain, looky here. Akuain, now we have the 2 here. That's present infinitive active. Oase, omen, edi, usi, ain, see? 2 here. Ears to hear. Let him hear. Let him keep on hearing. Let him keep on hearing. What are we supposed to hear? Are there people that you know that you tried to speak the Word of God to? And they don't have ears. Do they hear? Do they? They've got ears, but they're not hearing. They're not. I was witnessing to a fellow the other day, and he said, oh, well, I don't read the Bible. Well, whether he reads it or not, he's going to be responsible for it. Yeah, that's our instruction manual. That's it. It's our instruction manual. Whether we have a Word of God or where we have it, it's accessible here in this country. And you go over there in Iran Afghanistan or Saudi Arabia and see how many Bibles you're going to find over there. But we have them here. But are those people over there going to be responsible for the Word of God? Yes. They're responsible. They've got the Quran, which is a corruption of the Bible. It corrupts it and cripples it and makes a mess out of it. He that has ears, let him hear. And 4 and verse 10 now. What's the first word there, Sharon?
Kai.
Hote. Egenito. Kata. Monas. All right. Eroton. Auton. Hoi. Peri. Auton. Sin. Tois. Dodeca. Tas. Parabolas. Parabolas. And when he became, or when he was, alone, when he became alone. When he became alone, and that's kata monas, alone. Alone, apart from, in private, separately. It's a little adverb there. Adverbial phrase, actually. Kata monas. He kept on, or they kept on questioning. They kept on interrogating. Look at that word, erata'o. Comes from erato. Arataon, here it is, they kept on interrogating him. Now, if I went out here and I was just standing out here on the streets of Bakersfield, and I said, the sower went out to sow, and the sower, it fell on rocky ground, it fell on hard ground, it fell on good ground, and it fell on the side of the road. And people go, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And I would explain to them, I said, well, the Word is the Word of God. The ground is the type of soils which represents people, people's lives, what they do with the Word of God. And when he was separated apart, when he became separated apart, they kept on questioning him. Look at that word, auton, there. Auton. It's an Omicron nu on the end of that, isn't it, Cindy? So that is what? Accused of singular mass and third person pronoun. The ones, hoy there, these are the ones. Who are these ones? These ones around him. Who are the ones around him? His church. And so he went off by himself. His church began to question him. Together with 12, all the people are questioning him now. Now, what's different? How many disciples did Jesus have?
A multitude.
Thank you, Roger. You got an A. He didn't have 12 disciples. He had thousands of disciples. What were the 12?
Apostles.
Apostles. I was, my grandson one time, he's hard-headed as a brickbat, and he thinks he knows more than me, of course, about the Bible and everything, because he went to Bible school. And I said, how many disciples? We had a little thing out at my house. And I said, how many disciples did Jesus have? He said, 12. I went to school, Bible school. I said, no, he didn't have 12 disciples. Oh, yes, he did. I learned that there. Yes, he did. How many disciples did he have, Roger? Thousands. How many apostles did he have? 12 apostles. They're not disciples, they're apostles. This word 12 here is a unit. This unit is talking about these 12 apostles. Now, 12 apostles, and who were they? Was Judas one of them? Yes, he was. So he's listening to, what kind of ground is Judas? Hey, something. It sure wasn't productive. The only productive thing that Judas ever did was steal. For himself. Can you imagine stealing from Jesus himself? Yahshua. From the church? Stealing? He did. The Bible says he stole. He pilfered the bag. He carried the bag. He was the treasurer. The church had a treasurer in it. Judas was a treasurer. Boy, that was an unfit job for him, wasn't it? An unfit job for him. Together with the 12. And they kept on interrogating him about the parabolos, these these physical illustrations of spiritual truths. That's what a Bible, that's what a parable is, a parable. Now let's look at verse number 11. Cindy, can you read those two first words? Boy, you're good. How about the next one?
Altois.
Hymen to mysterion. Didote teis basileas to theou ekainois de tois exol en paraboles ta fanta genete. If you look up there, when I taught this in the seminary, it was in 1975. It's a long time ago, isn't it? 1975. What were you doing in 1975, Sharon? You were born yet? Yeah, 1975.
Brett was born that year. I was busy.
Oh, Brett was born that year. All right. Listen, look, and he kept on saying, Chi Elegain, that's third person singular and perfect indicative active. It comes from Lego, doesn't it? And he kept on saying to them, you go. To you, the mysterion. Mysterion. What's a mysterion? Have any idea? Sharon?
No.
You know what that is? No. How about Randy? How about a mysterion? Does it sound like anything in English?
Mysterion.
What? Mysterion, Sharon. No. Mystery. Secret.
Oh.
Secrets. Mysterions are secrets. The mysteries. A secret. You can put down secrets in there if you want to. The secret. It has been given. Look at that. Third person singular. Perfect, indicative, passive voice. How do you get this secret, Cindy?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit gives it to you, doesn't he? The given? The secret of the Basileus. Basileus. Who's the Basileus? Jesus. He's the king. All right. He's the king of Israel. Now, was Jesus really the king of Israel? I went back to the book of Zechariah today, the sixth chapter, when I preached up at Tachibi, and we talked about the king of Israel. Did Israel have all of the evidence of the Old Testament pointing to Jesus Christ as the root of Jesse, the king, a root out of dry ground? He was born in Bethlehem, exactly where he was supposed to be born, the Messiah was supposed to be born. He was raised in Nazareth. He went to the synagogue there, and all of those that had seen him all of his life, when he got up and he said that one day in the synagogue, he said he got up and read. It was his turn to read. He was in a habit of going there. He had done this many times before, but this day something was different. This day he was 30 years old. This day he began his ministry. The priests of the Old Testament would begin their ministry when they were 30 years old. Maybe on his birthday he got up and read this verse. And he said, this day, this prophecy is fulfilled in your ears. And they said, rah! But why did he, what did he say? He said, I am the king. I am the Messiah. This is me. And they wanted to kill him. Did they have the same Bible that he had? Did they? Did they know when he was born? Had they, according to the Apocrypha, had they investigated his life? When Herod, remember the Magi? In the book of Zechariah, there are three messengers that bring gifts. And two of the gifts are silver and gold. And what do they do to this king named Joshua? And Jesus is a more common... Jesus is what we use for the name Joshua. Let's put it that way. His name was Joshua. And Joshua means what? Joshua. Jehovah saves. Okay, now Joshua, the priest. Now, in the Old Testament, could a priest be the king? Could a king be the priest? No. But in the sixth chapter of Zechariah, it tells us that this priest, Joshua, it just happens to be the same name of Jesus, that they take two crowns. He has a priest mitre on him, and then they take a gold and a silver crown, and they put it on his head. And this is a parable. The book of Zechariah, The writer said this is a parable. We're talking about a parable right here, aren't we? And what did that parable tell them? That Jesus, the root, the natcher, the root, that shall become, he will be prophet, priest, and king. And right there it says he's going to be priest and king. And what are the two elements of this crown? There was one crown made out of what? Silver. And the other crown made out of what? Gold. Gold is a type of what in the Bible? Divinity. Silver is a type of what in the Bible, Cindy? Redemption. So we have a crown that he's the king and he's divine, and the other one is that he procured our salvation. We see that in that parable of Zechariah. Here we have a parable in the New Testament. They already had parables in the Old Testament. Did they have the parable of the potter in the Old Testament? Did they or not? Yes. They had many parables in the Old Testament. They had parables of the sower. They had all of this. Jesus is not telling them anything new. He is reinforcing. There is one message. What's the word for one in Hebrew, Brother Roger? See, I haven't been here enough, have I? Okay, what is that? Ahad. All right, ahad. One. There is one message in the Bible from Genesis through Revelation that Jesus is our God, that Jehovah is our God, and that He will redeem us. And He will be the King of all glory. He came the first time over here. The first time He came as our lowly servant, didn't He? That's how the Gospel of Mark portrays Him in the suffering servant. He came, He was arrested. Arrested. Now, I just finished reading a book about Tom Loken. He was a sheriff of my county up there where I live. There's Mineral County, Mono County, Inyo County, Esmeralda County, where I live up there, and then Nye County over there. Now, he was a sheriff of Nye County. And a guy murdered him. Cold-blooded murdered him. And all evidence is now, as they look back for 100 years ago when this happened, that he was murdered by the underground, the big shops. They wanted him out of the way because he was backing the miners. And Tonopah was a big mining town. And he was backing the miners, and he was making everybody, if somebody committed a crime, I don't care whether they were a union man or a non-union man or a worker or who they were, and that these big businessmen, these miners, the one that built the gold, Mythbah Hotel was one of these people that probably had him murdered. And McCarran. You heard about McCarran Airport and everything. He was a murderer. He was a big shot, but he was a murderer. McCarran got him off, got the man that murdered him off. I read the instructions that the judge gave to the jury. And I don't know how on earth they come to the conclusion that they did. First of all, it was 6-6. I don't know how the 6, except maybe they got paid too. The witnesses were paid. Now we know the witnesses are paid. We have all of this. Does this remind you of a story in the Bible? Jesus' trial? Paid witnesses? Did he have paid witnesses? Now, according to the law of God in Israel, if you brought charges against somebody and they were false charges, what happened to you? Whatever the punishment was, you got it. And I was reading this here, and it so reminded me of Jesus' trial. I just looked at it. He says, if a man premeditatedly with a forethought, whether that forethought was a week, a year, or 10 seconds before, if he kills somebody and he shoots him or impales him or whatever he does, and that this was shooting, if he shoots him in a vital part of his body, even with one bullet, and he had shot 5 times, And I'm going to tell you what that sheriff did. This guy shot him. He jumped on top of him and took him down and was arresting him with 5 bullets in him. And he got him arrested. And another man came out there and started beating him over the head with the sheriff's pistol. The sheriff was not armed. This guy had a semi-automatic pistol they shot him with. And he started to shoot him because he had shot the sheriff. And he said, oh, no, don't shoot him. The sheriff was protecting his prisoner. He was protecting him. And then we have a McCarran, Whitfield. These people like this. One time on CBS News, one of the descendants of Tom Logan was a news kind of a director, an interviewer. And McCarran, and this was about 1950-something, and he got him, he knew he was going to get to interview McCarran. And he came up there and he talked to him about him, what he did and everything. He's very proud, you know, he was a big politician and everything. And he handed this McCarran something. He said, have you ever seen this before? He looked at it. It was an old tarnished sheriff's badge of Nye County. He looked at it. He said, no, I haven't seen it before. He said, that's Tom Logan's badge. He just walked out. He never said another word. He had nothing to say. He was guilty of that man's murder. Jesus, when he came to his own people, and when he was tried for blasphemy and for saying that he was the king of the Jews and all this stuff, you know, I mean, he's not our king. We only have one king, and that king is who? Caesar. And then Pontius Pilate wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, king of the Jews. And they said, don't write that. Don't put that up there. Just say he said. He said, what I have written, I have written. He wrote it with his own hand in Greek, in Hebrew, and in Latin. And when he declared him not guilty 5 times, and he washed his hands before them, and he said, I am innocent of this man's blood. And they said, let his blood be upon us and our children. Now, if you're going to try them today, were they premeditated in this murder of Jesus? It didn't have to be 10 seconds before, but how long had they been trying to kill him?
Years.
3.5 years. Is this premeditated murder? Now, how many of those Jews have died because of what they did then? Millions. Millions. Let this blood be upon us and our children. Are they still responsible for it? Only by the Abrahamic and the Davidic covenant are they got anything in the plans of God today. Anything in the economy of God today. Because God said He's going to regather them. Ezekiel 36:20-24. And we see that already, don't we? We see them back in the land. But are they God's people today? Are they believers today? Ooh, the Mia. Hardly one. Hardly one. Let's go on a little bit further. And he said to them, to you the mystery, it has been given of the kingdom of God, belonging to God. Look at that, two to you there. That's what case is that, Cindy?
Genitive.
Case of, it's genitive and case of possession. The kingdom belonging to the God. The Jews had a kingdom, didn't they? When Herod the Great came on the scene, he killed all of the priests. He killed all the people on the Sanhedrin court, and he replaced them with his hand-picked few. Does it sound like Nye County, Maryland? Sound like Chicago? Has man changed any since then? Now, those gangsters, Al Capone and all of them back in those days, they knew they were gangsters, didn't they? They admitted they were gangsters. They also Al Capone many times, what are you doing? How come you're doing this? He said, I'm providing a product that these people want. Now, they accused him of a lot of things. He did not do the St. Valentine's Day massacre. Matter of fact, his lieutenant, he was in Florida when that happened, and he called his lieutenant on the phone, and he said, if you did that, you're a dead man. He said, because it's going to ruin me. If you kill these guys, he said, Man, it was the police officers that did it. They're trying to blame it on us. The police officer's trying to blame it. He says, I'll tell you what, if you did it, you're a dead man. He said, I'll never get a fair break from now on. Never get a fair break from now on. And he didn't, any. He finally got put in prison for income tax evasion. And those charges were false. They railroaded him in there. And he kept on saying to them, the mystery it has been given to you of the kingdom of God. To those, moreover, the ones outside of the kingdom. Now, what is the kingdom today, Cindy? You remember what the kingdom is today? The kingdom. Who's the administrator of the kingdom, Brother Roger?
The churches.
Okay? The administrators of the kingdom. And who are they? Matthew 5 through 7 is what? The ethics of the kingdom. Now that's, I know people keep on preaching this. This is the way we're going to treat the world, but that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about how you treat your brothers and sisters. Sometimes they're awful hard to love within the kingdom. These are the ethics of the kingdom. You treat people out on the street like that, and you're going to be a pitifully broke, abused person. Those are the ethics of the kingdom. Am I telling you the truth? How many of you have seen a panhandler today? Anybody call you on the telephone this week and told you won $10 million or something? Anybody emailed you and say, we got money over here in the bank, just give us a bank account and we're going to put it over there in yours? This happened? What?
Tell me you want it in cash.
Yeah, I want it in cash.
Well, they usually want some money. I say, well, just take it out of the winnings and send the rest.
Yeah, just take the winnings and send the rest. My son is a jokester. One of them called him a while back and he says, I got $50 million for you. It's in the bank. He said, I wish you'd called me 2 hours ago. Why? He said, because I just committed suicide. I took a whole bunch of pills. Because I was so desperately in debt, I decided to end it all. He started talking with slurred speech and everything else. He said, and the guy didn't know what to say. If you'd only call me, he said, why didn't you call me 3 hours ago? Why didn't you call me? And he's crying and going on hysterically and all this kind of stuff. Why didn't you call me before I killed myself? Why didn't you call me?
Blame him. It's all your fault.
It's all your fault. You didn't call me quick enough. But those on the outside, he spoke in parables. All the things are come to pass. One more verse, 12. Four and verse 12, A and B. It's a long one. Hina, blepontes blekousen, kai me idousen, kai akuontes akousen, kai me sineousen, me pote epistreps ousen, kai epithe autois. And it says, in order that, seeing, they see. They see me, and they see me, but they don't see me. They see me, but they don't see me. Some people are spiritually, do you ever know a spiritually blind person? I run into them all the time. I run into spiritually blind people all the time. They're not interested. They're blind to the things of God. Seeing, they see, and not, they what? Are able to put it together. Not they are able to understand. And look at that, Cindy, right there. Third person plural, second aorist subjunctive active. Subjunctive mode tells what? Whose fault is it? Their own fault, because they have volition. They're not made that way.
They choose not to understand.
Kai, and hearing. Acoontes, that's nominative plural masculine, present participle active, hearing. They hear. Now, here we have chi, and actually, I put down their conjunction, but it's not a conjunction, that's a strong adversative conjunction. Okay? But not. Third person plural, present, subjunctive, active. Again, Cindy, what does this say to you? They have volition, don't they? They may or may not do it. They don't understand. They hear, but they can't put it together. They hear, but they can't just understand what it is. Lest, may pote, they may turn back, and it should be forgiven them. The paralysis of sin. The paralysis of sin. The paralysis of rejection. The paralysis of it. What do you have of the paralysis? When you are paralyzed, I was 21 years old and I was paralyzed. My lower back was the disc in my back was going into my spinal cord and I was about to be done for. And they fused all that back together, but I was paralyzed. I couldn't walk. I was a strong man, 6'2", 240 pounds, strong as a bull ox. I was lifting up 1,000 pounds when that happened to me. I was walking across the location out here at Bell Ridge. And the oil company did not want to wait for the crane to get there, so we had to unload this very heavy things that they usually loaded with the crane. Now, I had got out there fooling around because you know how young people do. They're fools, mostly. And I had gone out there and I'd picked up this outrigger, which was 5.5 inch thick drill pipe, and it was about 60 feet long, and it had feet down on it, all 5.5 inch drill pipe with T's on the bottom of that. And I'd reach down like this and I'd pick that thing up and I'd walk over there to the catwalk, which is where they take the pipe up on the drilling rig. And it was standing about that far. And I'd pick that thing up and throw it over there. I'd done that several times. There were three of them on each side. But this day, I had two guys helping me. And the ground was slick like glass. Like greased glass. That mud out there, it was so slippery. It had been raining and raining and raining and raining and raining. And it was just slippery as could be. And we got out there, and guess who was in the middle? Me, because I'm the strongest guy. And we go over there, and I have two other guys. They're not real big, but they're strong enough to where they could lift 300 or 400 pounds apiece, maybe, you know, if they had to. And we were carrying this thing apart, and we got right up to the catwalk, and both of them slipped, and they threw their weight on the pipe. My back just snapped. They said it sounded like a .22 shot when it popped. I was in so much pain, I didn't know, but I picked it up and threw it over there. And then I was walking. Boy, I mean, it felt like somebody just stuck a knife through me. Just crushed the disc and vertebrae down there. Paralyzed. Paralyzed. And I went to the insurance doctor. He said, there's nothing wrong with you. That reminds me of Jesus' trial, you know. Insurance doctors, these are insurance prostitutes. That's all they are. I went to another doctor and he said, I don't know how that man didn't see this. He said, a blind man could see this. Then when he opened me up and it was a 9-hour operation and they put all that, pulled those discs out and part fusing it. And this was experimental surgery back then in 1971. This was real experimental surgery, 1970. I laid there for 15 days, just rolled back and forth in sheets. I was paralyzed. I couldn't do anything. Paralyzed, you can't reach. You can't do anything. You can't. I went from a strong man to paralyzed in one moment. Just like that. That was my choice. But these people here, it is their choice to be paralyzed in sin and rejection. It's their choice because they are the soils, aren't they? They are the soils. They are the bad ground. Which ground would they be?
The hard ground.
The hard ground. Because they're hard-hearted. See there, Randy, you're learning. The hard ground. Because the seed could not even go in there, could it? It's not going to penetrate them. The seed won't penetrate. And then guess who's going to eat the seed up? The birds. And the birds are what? The Bible says they're devils. 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 They're devils. Evil ones. Evil ones. Evil ones. The devil come and grabs the seed out of your heart of these people. Some of these people that are almost believers, he grabs the seed out and says, you don't want that. You don't want that. Now, I was paralyzed by what we might call the arrogance of that company wanting me to go out there and do this stuff when it wasn't safe to do that. Now there's all kinds of laws against that, but back then there weren't. I worked 36 hours at a time. You don't do that today. You know why? Because it's too dangerous. You can't stay alert. And that's a dangerous job, people. Out there on those oil fields, it was a dangerous job. Oh, every day somebody got hurt or liable to get hurt or killed or something. I saw a lot of blood and guts out there. And severed arms and legs and feet and whatever. It almost happened to me a bunch of times, but that did happen to me. That did happen to me. Wasn't my choice. Wasn't my choice. I was working for a company here. And they would mop the floor with solvent, which was illegal. And solvent takes a long time to dry, doesn't it? And it's very slippery. And people come in and they fall down. And everybody laugh and whatever. I said, if you don't quit doing this, somebody's going to get hurt real bad. And you're going to get sued over this. You quit doing it. I said, use something that and do it when nobody's here. And what they did, they mopped it with solvent one more time. And I was the last person there, almost midnight. And I went and found out one of the doors. They had left the door up on upstairs, and the lights were mercury vapor, and they took 5 or 10 minutes to go back on. And I had to run back in there with the alarm going off. And they had left the mop bucket out there with a mop across the bay, and I fell, and I hurt my shoulder and my neck and my back. And it ended up costing me my career. I ended up with three operations over that deal. That wasn't my choice to get hurt. But how many people damage themselves? How many times have you ever tried to witness to a Mormon or an Islamic person or a Jehovah's Witness? And they didn't want it. They did not. They have paralyzed themselves. They are willfully ignorant. They are willfully blind. They are willfully deaf. And what's going to happen to them? Well, as long as you believe something, you get to go to heaven, huh? No. All right. Where did we start, Cindy? 4 verse 8 to 12. Now, do you have a question? Interrogatio. Anything? Have any questions? Randy, you got a question? No, almost like you. Yeah. All right. All right, either one of you, Sharon, have a question? Cindy, you have a question? She asked me a question. I won't be able to answer it. She's got for her. This is old hat to her, see. How about Roger?
Cindy was supposed to tell me a question that I was going to ask you. She said, no, I don't have a question.
Marilyn. You always have questions when I preach up there in the woods, and you won't ask me until I shut the camera off.
Yeah.
And good questions. Yes, Randy.
No. This question has something to do with what you said. It's not directly. You know, they had Jesus' birth records, and he is a descendant of David. I mean, that's what we've been told. The records go back.
Who would have the records?
Well, the priest.
Who would have the records? Of Jesus' birth. Who would have the records of his mother being married?
The scribes.
Yeah. Who were the scribes? Today they would be county clerks. Was it a record, an affidavit? Yes. Who was supposed to be on the throne of Israel? Joseph. Joseph should have been on the throne. They knew who was supposed to be on the throne. Do you think those people were blind and deaf? But they were happy with their religion.
I'm surprised they didn't kill him.
Kill him when he was little? The devil? Oh, Joseph?
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't there when Jesus began his ministry. Don't know what happened to him. The Bible doesn't say anything about it, does it? But who was in line? Now, Jesus was in the spiritual line through Mary, the book of Luke, and he's in the physical line through Joseph, Matthew. Okay? So he's double related, either side. Did they know that? Yes. Yes, they knew it. Wasn't no mystery. Wasn't no misterio, no secret to them. Especially when you read the Arco volume where you find some of these court documents back then. That one's there. This is Roman documents in that too. Yeah, Pontius Pilate's letters in that. Did you know that Pontius Pilate was a believer?
No.
Pontius Pilate says plainly that he was. Did you know that Pontius Pilate converted his father-in-law, which was the Caesar, which was Tiberius Caesar? And Tiberius protected that little church as long as he could. And Tiberius Caesar put an edict, a law, before the Roman Senate saying they should recognize Jesus as a god, along with all our other gods, of course. But he believed that.
Just one of many. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. You read Pontius Pilate's letter. It's something else. It'll blow you away. He tells about the description of Jesus. By the way, we have more facts, more historical evidence of Jesus' life, birth, miraculous ministry, death, burial, and resurrection, extra biblically than we do in the Bible.
How come this stuff is not out?
I put it out. You can go listen to it. And I quoted, I had a judge, a Superior Court judge of Orange County down there. He would listen to me talk on the radio at nighttime. And he went and listened to all this. And he got on there one time. His name is Chris. And he said, "Dr. Jim," he said, "you won the case." He said, "I sat in that courtroom and listened to you give this evidence." He said, "You want, not only did I do that, but I went and quoted and read every source you quoted." He said, "It's all there. It's all there. Good and bad. From his enemies and from his adherents."
It'll be on the internet.
It's on the internet. Yeah, they're there. If you go and put the extra biblical sources of Jesus' life, death, burial, and resurrection by Dr. Jim Phillips, it'll take you to some of those. You can go listen to that. All right. Do you have anything else? Anything? Are you glad you came? You learned something, didn't you? All right. You might not learn much Greek, but you learned history and you learned the Bible and all of that. That's the most important. Yes. All right. Let's go out and do something eternal. Cindy, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing us together once again. And I just thank you that you are as powerful and wonderful as you are, and that your sole purpose in our lives is just to direct us, take care of us, provide for us. And all you ask in return is that we love you. And I just pray that you would give all of us an open heart to your word and to the things that you have to say to us, that